WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Oz. That's the name on the street for the Oswald Maximum Security Penitentiary.
Oz is retro. Oz is retribution. You want to punish a man? Separate him from his family. Separate him from himself. Cage him up with his own kind.
That's an excerpt from the new CD, Oz, the Soundtrack. Oz is the HBO series that follows the lives of inmates in the experimental unit of a maximum security prison. Prisons are violent places, but hopefully few are quite as violent as life in Oz, where rape, murder, and creative acts of sadism are routine aspects of daily life. The series has become famous for its violence, nudity, bizarre and surprising plot twists, and terrific acting. My guest Tom Fontana is the co-creator of Oz and writes many of the episodes. He also co-created the series Homicide, Life on the Street. Oz started its fourth season this month. Fontana first joined us when the series premiered in 1997. We invited him back to discuss how the series has evolved. In our first interview about Oz, when the series was first beginning, you explained that you'd done research in prisons, not so much to get stories where people told you the best and the funniest anecdotes about being in prison. What you said you wanted was to just get a sense of the texture and the feeling of the place, to try to get to if there was a common feeling about what it was like to be locked up in a prison. Do you still feel the series is about what it's really like to be locked up in prison, or do you think the series is headed off in another direction?
Well, I would say still that it represents, it approximates what it's like to be living a lifetime in prison. I think that from an individual story point, every once in a while I've gotten a little giddy in my storytelling.
Thank you for saying that, but, yes.
but I also think because if we just did the actual rhythm of a life in prison, it would get very repetitious by this point. So, as I said, I think we're still approximating what it's like, and still a lot of the stories that I'm doing are actual things that have happened in prison. I haven't invented too much stuff. It's just every once in a while I get a little Jacobean in my in the twist and the turn of the story.
So some of the stories are based on reality, but they don't all happen to the same person in the same place on the same day as they do in Oz.
Exactly. Well, the thing about, you know, the thing about episodic television in general, if you looked at NYPD Blue or Homicide or Sopranos or any television drama series, over the course of seven seasons, so many things happen to a character that it does start to seem like the Book of Job. That's why, you know, a movie, it's just clean. It's okay, here's 2 hours of whatever's going to happen to this character. So the accumulative effect of what a character like Tobias Beecher has gone through, let's say, can feel to somebody like, oh my God, you know, it's impossible. And I suppose in real life it is impossible, but as you said, the actual specific events are still very real.
Oz has, like, you know, the handsomest prisoners in the world. There's some, like, mighty attractive guys in this prison.
Well, you know what's funny about when you go to a real prison, you're stunned by how healthy, I mean, they're all buffed because they work out in the gym. They don't have anything else to do. But they all look great. They look much better than I look.
But I mean, when I say attractive, I mean their faces, not their bodies, their faces. I mean, these are these are real, like, hunks in prison. Is that intentional on your part? Do you think that's part of the appeal of the show, to have a few of the guys be really attractive for the men and the women who are watching? And I should add, some of these guys end up appearing naked in the series as well.
Well, I would say that I've never cast anybody consciously because they were attractive or unattractive. I do think that the show has a mix of faces and a mix of looks about it. There are some, you know, good-looking guys in it that I cast because I thought they were the best actors. But I'm sure that's why some people watch the show. I hope it's not the only reason people watch the show.
Can you compare the feedback you get from men and women about the sex on the show and the men's bodies on the show? And I don't mean to treat lightly what goes on in Oz, which includes a lot of very violent rape. But, I mean, it's just so clear in the series that there's a lot of, like, sex appeal that the series is supposed to have.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe I'm overly naive about these things because it's not something that I think about. I mean, I don't put people in the hole naked because I go, oh well, this is a moment where somebody's gonna get excited in a watching television. I don't do the violence or the nudity because I can. I do it because that's the moment. I mean, you'll notice there's sometimes when people get sent into the hole where you don't see very much because throwing somebody in the hole naked has now become almost a cliche on the show. So for me, it's less interesting to do that. And if somebody says, well, they're not doing that anymore, I mean, it's not that we're not doing it at all, but we're doing it less. But if somebody says, well, I'm not watching the show anymore because there's no more naked male bodies in the hole, well, then they should go watch something else. I wish them well.
I'll tell you the scene that particularly surprised me, and this was, I think, at the end of the last season. One of the characters was urinating nude into a bucket. And
yes.
It was the most explicit urination scene I've ever seen on TV.
Well, yeah. he was actually really urinating. I mean, the actor was actually urinating. There was no tricks up our sleeves. Well, he was naked, so there were no sleeves in any case. But that, again, was the purpose of that was not for us to go, yeah, 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 we can show a guy urinating, really urinating in a bucket. It was to say, well, we've been in this hole how many times? And if you're going to actually be still shocked by the fact that people are shoved in this hole, maybe you ought to be reminded that they don't just go in there and sit there, that they actually have to, you know, perform bodily functions in there. And you get a sense of the smell, and you get a sense of the totality of what it is to be locked in that room for, let's say, a month. You know, I mean, it's to make a point. It's not to say, you know, oh look, there we aren't we adorable that we did that.
It's probably just a little bit of both, don't you think? Though that, I mean, don't you make waves in what might be an interesting way by doing that and get attention for it?
Well, I hope so. I don't actually know how much attention we got in the sense of, I think people might have talked about it the next day. And you're right. I mean, I definitely want to make waves. It's not that I'm, you know, saying I don't want to make waves. But what I'm saying is I wouldn't do it if I didn't actually think that the moment was right for it. It wasn't an arbitrary, like, whimsical, well, what haven't we done? Oh, we haven't shown a guy pissing in a bucket. It was to say, well, what's the next thing to get the audience, to keep the audience, you know, stunned by what the lifestyle is in a prison.
Have there been any protests? Have there been any special interest groups or lobby groups who've been on your case because of the sex and nudity and violence?
No, not that I'm aware of. The only people that I've ever gotten negative letters from were like the Aryan Brotherhood.
What were they angry about?
I think sometimes they think our portrayal of the Aryan Brotherhood isn't as positive as it might be. But other than that, I've never gotten any kind of negativity off of the violence or the sex because, again, I think that people understand they're going to watch HBO. There is a different criteria. But also, if they're going to watch Oz, it's not about us being sensationalistic. It's about us doing what I think we need to do to represent the world that we're showing.
My guest is Tom Fontana, co-creator of the HBO prison series Oz. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Tom Fontana, co-creator of the HBO prison series Oz. He also writes many of the episodes. Do you ever get letters from prisoners or former
all
prisoners?
All the time.
What's the range of response you get?
Well, I mean, the bulk of the letters are usually, you know, I'm innocent, can you help me get out? Or I heard that you did a story about this, and that's like my case. Is that based on anything that I could use for my defense? Or I'm getting out of prison, and I would love to come in and talk to you and see if I could get a job. And I treat every letter, you know, very seriously, and I've met with a number of men who've gotten out of prison. To see if I could help them, you know, it's uh, it's a tricky situation because you you obviously want to do the best you can. I mean, a lot of our extras are former inmates. So, you know, sometimes that's a way to help people out is by giving them a job as an extra.
Has that worked out smoothly, working with former inmates on the set?
Yeah, we haven't had one problem. We haven't had one problem. It's a pretty happy set, all things considered.
Now, the prisoners in Oz watch this kids' TV show, and it's a TV show in which there's a woman host, and the puppet that she uses is often near her breast, and mm-hmm. it's quite sexual to mm-hmm. the prisoners who are watching. What gave you the idea for that show and for this prisoner's sexual interpretation of what's happening?
Well, they tend to watch the most, they watch like aerobics shows and things like that because they're really interested in seeing women and women's breasts. And I wanted to do the Miss Sally Schoolyard. It's kind of, in one part, it's like an homage to Bert Hillstrom and Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, but also because I just love the irony of the fact that these criminals were watching this children's show, and they would have these dopey little morals, like be friendlier to your neighbor, or you know, don't forget to you know, say thank you, and just the absurdity of the fact that these guys would be watching Miss Sally's for totally the wrong reason, only to look at the woman, you know,
right. There's a lot of new prisoners on Oz this season, and one of the new prisoners is played by Luke Perry, who played Dylan on Beverly Hills 90210. Mm-hmm. Why don't you describe his part on Oz?
Well, what he is that he's a televangelist, but he's not a you know, swaggerty Falwell guy. He's not a kind of a button down Midwest guy. He's a much more of a, I mean, Luke's got very long hair and he's got a beard, so he actually looks more like Jesus than he does like Falwell. And the idea was that I didn't want to bring this guy in as a phony. I wanted him to be whatever crime he committed, which it was embezzling from his own church. I didn't want him to be just this like blowhard, you know, fundamentalist. I wanted him to have real Christian values and to see how those Christian values helped or hindered people in the prison. And also to put that character through and what he goes through in the episodes he's in is a number of the seven deadly sins he is subjected to or attempted by, I should say. And I thought it would be interesting to take a guy who does truly believe in his Christian values and put him, you know, Mark Twain said virtue isn't virtue till it's tempted. And it's easy to be in a life and say, well, this is what I do and this is what I believe and that. And then to put him in an intense environment like Oz and put his virtue to the test and see where he comes out at the end of it.
Well, let's hear a scene that's an example of that. And in this scene, Luke Perry is working out, lifting weights. And a young, you know, very attractive prisoner who's new comes up to him and offers to give him sex.
Mm. Healthy body, healthy mind. In the Catholic Church, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that we're supposed to keep pure. Do you believe that, preacher?
The body is God's gift to us. We're obligated to take care of it.
What about sex? Is that a gift to God, too?
Of course.
How'd you like a...
What makes you think I want a...
Everybody wants a...
No, thank you. Step back, please. You made a lifetime out of being adorable, sexy in a lost little boy kind of way. But you threw your baby in the trash. That's a man's crime. It's time for you to be a man.
You want to talk a little bit about writing that scene?
Well, you know, as I was just saying, I starting with the two characters in the scene, both of whom were established before the scene, Luke's character is a guy who the rest of the prisoners are now going to be kind of sniffing around him to see what they can get from him and what they can do to entice him. And the other character, Timmy Kirk, who has been this kind of little boy sneaking his way through and getting things that he's wanted by flirting and things like that. The fun of writing Oz is to create different characters and then put all these different characters, you know, two by two or three by three in a scene together and see what kind of explosion happens. And so that was where that scene came from. I thought, well, let's see what this guy's got. Let's see what Luke Perry's character's got. This is his first temptation. Let's see what he's really made of.
What came first for you, wanting to give Luke Perry a part in Oz, or writing this character of the televangelist and then looking for somebody to play it and deciding on Luke Perry?
No, they actually happen simultaneously, as it does with a lot of the actors on Oz. I if I know their work, I try to create a part for them. I've known Luke a number of years and always wanted to work with him, and I didn't want to write something that he'd already done. And I thought it would be kind of great to bring him in as this famous televangelist, because, you know, Luke is famous, and I thought it justified the fact that most of the actors on Oz are unknowns, but Luke Perry is an unknown, and this televangelist wasn't unknown. And to Luke's credit, he was extraordinary. He jumped in both feet. A lot of times the actors are just background. They have no dialogue, and I said to him, "You're going to be sitting around for a lot, you know, in the background. The camera may see you, it may not see you." And he said, "Tom, I am here. I'll do it." And he had such a great spirit, and everybody, all the other actors, just loved having him around. So,
now, I didn't see this episode, but I understand that Uta Hagen, the great stage actress and the revered acting teacher, had a part on Oz. How did you end up casting her?
Well, I've known Uta a long time, and she and I had worked together before, and I just called her up and said, I've got this part, and she read the script, said, I'm on my way over. And she actually, when she was done, because it was just the one scene, she had a scene with George Moore Fogan, playing his mother, and we shot it, and she got up and she said, "You know, I've done a lot of movies, done a lot of things." She said, "That's the fastest I've ever worked, and I had the best time, because it was all about spontaneity, and it wasn't about the technology of making a film." So she had a blast, and I actually, I adore working with her. She's just, I mean, the set was like, I could have sold tickets to the set that day because there were so many actors sitting around watching her work, you know.
Was there anything you felt you had to protect her from?
No. Uta Hagen? No. She's tougher than anybody.
Okay.
I mean, you don't survive that many years in the theater without having the skin of a rhino. You don't have to worry about Uta. She can take care of herself.
Now, here's one of the really improbable plot twists on Oz that I have to ask you about. Mm-hmm. A couple of episodes ago, there was a group of Chinese immigrants that had absolutely no place to stay, and it was arranged through the government, I think it was through the government, that they would stay on cots in Oz. And mm-hmm. and they're even allowed to mingle with the prisoners. And I guess no big surprise, one of them is brutally murdered. I mean, did it ever really happen that that immigrants were
well,
put up in a prison and allowed to mingle with the most hardened prisoners?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I did. I think I mean, they were put in prison facilities. They were separated more than I did on the show. But they were basically, shoved anywhere they could be shoved while the situation was resolved. No, I don't disagree that it was that I took a little license there and put him in Oz. I mean, put him in Emerald City. For me, it was more about a story about, another kind of prisoner, another kind of disenfranchised person in the world, you know, and how does that measure up to what goes on in a prison? So I may have been gone too far out on the limb with that one, but I'm glad I did the story and I thought that actor was terrific.
My guest is Tom Fontana, co-creator of the HBO prison series Oz. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Tom Fontana, co-creator of the HBO prison series Oz. He also writes many of the episodes. Strange question. I'm not sure if your parents are even alive, so forgive me
for
asking this. Does your mother ever watch Oz?
Yes.
What does she have to say about it?
Well, it's interesting. When the show first was coming on the air, she said, "Oh, Tommy, I hear you have another show coming on the air." And I said, "Yeah, but Mom, I don't think you should watch this one." And she said, "Why not?" And I tried it in very, gentle ways, explain what the show was about and why I didn't think she'd watch it. And she said, "Oh, I think I should watch that." And we got into a kind of an argument on the phone, almost as if she was my daughter. And I was like, "No, under no circumstances can you watch that. And I'm going to get a V-chip and I'm going to put it in your TV set and blah, blah, blah." And she said, "You know, you can't tell me what to watch and I can watch whatever I want." And it was playful, but I was really concerned. And I finally said to her, "Okay, you can watch the show under two conditions. One is that, we can never speak of it again. And two, that if any of your friends say, 'I saw your son's show,' say, 'Oh no, that's the other Tom Fontana who writes that show.'" So the first episode premiered and, we talk every Sunday that Sunday she didn't say anything. And I thought, "Oh, whew." And then the second week, same thing. She didn't say anything. Third week, she said to me, "I got to ask you a question." And I go, "What?" She says, "About Oz." I go, "Mom, we agreed we'd never talk about it." And she said, "No, I just have one question." And I go, "All right, what's the question?" And she said, "Is anybody going to die next week?" She said, "Because they're all such nice boys. I don't want to see any of them die." And she and her girlfriends, they watch the show and then they call each other the next day and they talk about it. And it's one of those things that you say to yourself, "Oh my God, my 80-year-old mother watches Oz
and thinks that they're all such nice guys,
nice boys. Yeah, she gets very, you know, because she understands them like a good mother, you know.
I think it's because they're your creations. Now, I understand that at the beginning of Oz, we see somebody getting an Oz tattoo, and we see the tattoo being inscribed and him being a little bloodied by the inscription.
Yes.
I understand you have an Oz tattoo.
That is me in the opening sequence of the show. That is my shoulder. I didn't let him shoot my face because I was screaming. No. I actually have several tattoos, and when we were doing the opening, actually Sheila Nevins from HBO suggested that I do the tattoo, and I thought it was such a good idea, and I set the whole thing up, and we got a real prison a tattoo artist to come, a guy who was out of prison who came to do it, and so we were all, and everybody kept saying, "Who's going to get the tattoo?" And I was going, "Oh, somebody will get it, and we got to the moment of truth, and nobody wanted to get it. And I said, "Well, I'll get it." And we sat there, and we were shooting it. And the director of the sequence kept going, "All right, let's do one more take." And, "Oh, okay, let's do one more take." "All right, we'll do one more take." And, you know, and I'm sitting there in the thing. And the whole crew is waiting for me to, like cry or scream or something. But I didn't, because, as I said, I have other tattoos, so I knew the sensation. And the tattoo artist finally said, when the director said, "Let's do another take," he said, "You know, if I cut into this guy anymore, he's going to bleed to death." So that's when we stopped shooting that sequence. But that is my actual arm. And it was funny because a lot of people said to me, "Well, what are you going to do?" This was the first season, and we didn't know how the show would be received. They said, "What are you going to do if the show gets canceled?" And I said, "Well, I'll either meet a girl named Roz and put an R in front of it, or change the put a little dot after it and make it ounces, I'll figure out something. But fortunately, I haven't had to. And now I've had all of my shows tattooed on my body, so I'm a walk, right. I'm a walking resume.
Have people said to you, "What are you going to feel like when you're 80 and you have this Oz tattoo on your arm?"
Man, if I live to be 80, I won't even have to answer then, you know.
So, do you like the way your tattoo came out in the shot that we see every week at the opening?
Yes, yes, I'm very proud of my tattoos.
And your very mother, proud. What does she think of the tattoo?
Well, I don't think she's thrilled by any of the tattoos,
really have the other tattoos on your body, do you? The other names of your shows?
No, not right, the other. Oh, I have other tattoos, but they're not the other names of the show. No, I was being facetious.
Oh, yeah. There, well, what are the other tattoos?
We'll say that for next time.
This apparently is none of our business, okay? We will use our vivid imaginations.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole point of Oz, right?
So,
get people to use their imaginations.
You are now working on next season's episodes?
We're writing the ones that we're gonna shoot in April. That would be the next season, yeah.
Any clues about what's happening?
Everyone loves each other. There's no more sex. There's no more violence. It's a perfect universe.
Nothing but reconciliation.
Right. Well, it's the Bush years now. I have to go into another mode.
Well, Tom Fontana, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for asking me back.
Tom Fontana is the co-creator of the HBO prison series Oz.